Good morning. I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Go ahead and get started. It's a beautiful day the Lord's given us. I want to rejoice and be glad in it. So if you've noticed the new chairs, not new chairs, but new arrangement, I guess you could say, I believe you can go ahead and get it out in the open. That way we ain't questioning why, but Pastor and Kelly came up and done this yesterday, and I love it. Personally, I love it, but there's a reason for it. And that shouldn't change the way we worship the Lord anyway, how we're seating, where we're seating, or anything like that. And one thing I do say this, and I've always loved about this church is, we don't have seats, if you say. I know everybody has their place they usually sit, but if someone new or visitor or guest or whatever's coming in and they want a seat and they sit there, by all means sit there. Honey, I'll move up. I'll slide sideways. I don't care. You know what I mean? And that's a good thing. And so we want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Seats are a little bit different, but the Spirit of God hasn't changed. Before we get started, I want to give God the praise this morning for Brother Johnny Milton. And the Lord touched him. And if you don't care, just give God a hand clap of praise and thank him. Brother Johnny just had a medical issue kind of come up, and the Lord just saw him right through this week. And, we was praying and talking to God about it, and I just felt the Spirit of God in it. And felt a peace and all those things. And we just thank God that he answers prayers for his people. And fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. And I believe he had a lot of fervent prayers going up for him. And we just thank God for that. We want to give him the praise. He's one of ours, and we want to thank God for it. Amen. But we want to pick back up a little bit. Teaching this morning, got a young lady that God has also put something on her heart that she's going to share with us as I finish. The Lord's put something on her heart to share, and we're going to do that. We want to always, Brother Joe, be obedient to the Lord. God put something on your heart. I'll say this, if you do not know this, and maybe you've just started coming or whatever, if God's put something on your heart and you really believe it's from God, come to me. Please come to me. I am an open book. I absolutely welcome that, and you can share it with me a little bit, talk a little bit, and we'll go from there, and we'll make time for you to share it if it's God's will. That's, we want to be in that will. We don't want to any way, shape, or form hamper you from doing that. So we're looking forward to hearing that word from God. But today we're going to talk a little bit about being the Lord's will. We talked last week, if you remember, for 3 weeks where I felt led to go into, because I don't believe in, you know, just getting up here and not being led of God. I never have done things that way. I don't do things that way. So I asked God, Lord, what do you want me to teach on? What direction do you want me to go? And things of that nature. I don't just grab a thought and AI it, or whatever some people may do, as far as, you know, I really study and I pray and I ask God to lead me and help me and stuff of those natures. And he spoke to me about returning to the basics about 2 weeks ago. And that's why we started on gather, grow, go, and things of that nature. The fundamentals still work. Yesterday had the privilege of going up and watching the Major League Football games up there. Saw some people here at church up there, talked with them, said some. But I'm always reminded when I watch that age group of football that fundamentals matter. And really, whether you're at this age or college or NFL, fundamentals still win. Absolutely still win. Nick Saban won 7 national championships, I believe it is, 6 or 7. He literally preached before he retired fundamentals. He believed in building a team that was strong from the inside out. And for you folks that don't know football as well, that means the line has to be good, or it don't matter how good the running backs are. If you can't block for the running backs and the quarterback, it doesn't much matter how good they are. So he believed in being good on the offensive and defensive line and then build from the inside out. Christians, in our walk with God, we have to be strong, we have to be fundamental from the inside out. So what I mean by that is our walk with God, each individual person's walk with God, has to be strong, has to be fundamental, has to be sound, okay? If it's not sound, guess what? On the outside, we're not going to really make much of a difference, Brother Joe. And what I mean by that is this: if we are not being transformed by the renewing of our mind, if we're not walking with the Lord and growing in the Lord, and ready for this, we're not going to act like Christians. When the pressures of this life bother you, Brother Pat, you're going to snap and cuss at somebody in the middle of the grocery store or whatever, and you're going to totally destroy your witness. Amen? So we're going to talk about things like that. We're going to the second part today, the grow part. As we talked about worship and the importance of gathering last week, I really enjoyed that. So we're going to go down the path of growing. How do we do that? What should we be doing? What should it look like? Things like that. That being said, I've got another question to ask. If you remember, I asked the questions last week as well, and it's kind of dictated the way we was going to go. And I got another question I want to ask you. I do not want anyone to answer right now, okay? I want you to think about this. And then we're going to obviously open it up for some answers. But before we get started, there's a challenging question I want to ask. Every individual, without any answering, but with self-reflection, ask yourselves, where are you right now spiritually? That's the question I ask you. Your neighbor can't answer it for you. Your spouse can't answer it for you. Where are you right now spiritually? Now that right there will cause you to stop and reflect. That's what it's designed to do. And kind of take inventory, Cheryl. I remember working, Brother Joe knows this, anybody that's ever worked in with the public and anybody that's got any inventory, you've got to take inventory from time to time or you don't know what you got to sell. Or next thing you know, you've ordered something you've already got on the shelf and you cost yourself money. But taking inventory still matters in business, and it matters individually. How many people know that it's important as a Christian to take inventory? And that's an old saying. I remember the old times, old timers that helped raise me. Someone's when's the last time you took inventory? They come up and ask you. I love that generation so much, Tommy. They come up and ask you, son, when's the last time you took inventory? Just out of the blue. And I was like, Sister Mary, I won't do that today. You know, or whatever, you know. But I knew what they meant, and they taught you and stuff. And so what I mean by that is this question: where are you right now spiritually? I can't answer you, and you can't answer me. For some of you, it may be, man, I tell you what, the Lord is just blessing me like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Some of you might be like, brother, I'm really struggling right now. I'm hanging on by my toenails. You know? And some of you might be, you know what, I could do better. Or, man, I used to be closer than I am now. All those answers matter. Okay? Where are you spiritually? That's your question. As we talk today about growing, gather, grow, and finally next week, go. But the importance of gathering, we're gathered here this morning, and man, I'm telling you right now, you are a beautiful looking crowd this morning. More than, what'd you say? Well said. I like that. That's the kind I like. I like stuff like that. But anyway, you're a beautiful looking crowd this morning. Glad a lot of you've come to join us. But where are you right now spiritually? Okay? Some of you may be in great. Some of you may not. And that's what we want to talk about. But the first question we have to ask ourselves individually as Christians regarding where we are spiritually. I really believe this is probably the most important thing that's going to determine where you are spiritually. Okay, if that makes sense. So, and don't get me wrong, we're going to go down a list of things that help us to grow. We're going to do that. But this word right here, to me, probably sums it all up. You remember when they come to Jesus and ask Jesus, what was the most important commandment? And he said, love the Lord thy God with everything in you and love your brother as yourself. That was the greatest of the commandments, because the reason he said that is because if you did that, then you took care of all 10 of them. Okay, so if you loved God with you wasn't going to have no other gods before you. You know what I mean? If you loved your brother as yourself, you weren't going to covet what your brother had. You weren't going to lie to him. You weren't going to steal from him. Make sense? So that's why Jesus meant that. So he summed up all the commandments with those two. Okay? That being said, how are you spiritually? Right now, I feel can come down to this. One word. And so that's what we're going to get at. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Well, brother, I think I come to church. In all aspects of your life spiritually, are you faithful? Are you faithful to pray? Are you faithful to gather? Are you faithful to spend the time with the Lord of the morning? I know what Brother Joe's routine is. Are you faithful to read Scripture? Are you faithful to meditate on His words? Are you faithful to come to church and worship? And are you faithful to worship outside the church? Are you faithful to serve others? Witnessing to them, inviting them, sharing your testimony. See, that's a good thing about a witness. I know there's a lot of people that struggle with witnessing. We used to call that witnessing when, in the older days, they would go out witnessing, knocking on doors to doors. And I know times have changed, and the drug epidemic and all those things has kind of changed that, and I hate that, but it is where we are. But to be a witness is not hard. You don't have to have great oratory skills to be a witness. You do not have to have great Bible knowledge to be a witness. Okay? You don't have to have been a Christian for 22 years to be a witness. Can I tell you what a witness is? That's someone who's been called in to share what they seen, felt, and know. If Brother Ray Goodman here witnessed a crime, that prosecuting attorney is going to ask Brother Ray come, sit on the court, and share what he saw. Well, I saw this man pull in right here, and he got out. Next thing I know, he's running out with a bag full of money, waving a gun. Can you recognize who it is? Yeah, it's that fellow sitting right over there. That's a pretty credible witness. Amen? Now, that being said, it's the other guy's responsibility, the defense attorney, to say, yeah, but Brother Ray, you say you saw that, right? Yeah. How many fingers am I holding up? 17. You know what? I've just kind of shed a little bit of doubt on Ray's testimony because he can't see. You know what I mean? Ray's got good vision, though. He's like me. He's losing it as we get older. But he's got good vision. But the point of the whole thing I'm trying to talk about is being a witness is really sharing your experience with somebody else. Are you faithful in doing those things? Faithfulness matters. Amen? We're never going to be able to win people to Christ without being faithful. Okay? We can't act crazy in public and then try to invite them to a revival we got going on. You know what I mean? That's probably not going to work too well, you know? How's your relationship with Jesus? Are you spending quality time with him? Ready for this? Faithfulness comes down to one thing. Do you trust God? So how are you spiritually right now? Are you faithful? And do I trust God? That's it. Those three things. If you're writing down those three things. Do I trust God? Because I can't, Cheryl, be faithful to something I don't trust. You think Peter, James, and John? Well, not necessarily John, I'm sorry. John died a natural death, they tell us. You think 11 of the 12 disciples would have died a martyr's death if they didn't trust Jesus? You think people that have gone on to be with the Lord would have been able to hold their hands as they face death, Cheryl? Praise and shout with everything in them if they didn't trust Jesus? Do you trust God? Okay? If we're going to grow in the Lord, we must first ask ourselves and take inventory. As I just said, where am I spiritually now? You got to recognize where you are. And what that means ripping the Band-Aid off sometimes, Pat. You might not be where you need to be. If you don't want to own up to that, then you're not going to move out of that position. It just is what it is. If I want to grow with the Lord, I first got to realize I'm lacking something. Or I could do something better. I could change something or whatever. One of the worst things that we do as Christians is we maintain. We maintain. We're good at maintaining stuff. We maintain a relationship. We maintain a marriage. We maintain our grass cutting, our responsibilities. We maintain jobs. We do all those things. We get so good at maintaining that we get comfortable and we quit growing. We don't stretch ourselves. We don't push ourselves out of our comfort levels. We don't ask ourselves questions. Do I pray as much as I used to pray? How's my worship? When's the last time I spent alone time with God? Okay? Do I only spend a long time with God when I need something? Ooh. Think about it. It's something we all are guilty of from time to time, folks. I'm not slinging stones, I promise. I'm a human too. I'm a man subject to like passions as you are. But that being said, we got to ask ourselves those questions. And if we're really wanting to grow spiritually in the Lord, we've got to confront these things. We go on and talking about connecting to God and growing and things of that nature. I've heard Pastor Walker say this a lot, okay? That growing, something that's healthy will naturally grow. That's true, absolutely. If it gets enough in good soil, gets watered well, maintained, you grow in a good garden, you got to pull the weeds out to make sure the garden gets all the nutrients or whatever it is. If you do that, obviously, it's going to grow. But what is growth? Growth is literally the process of becoming larger, stronger, better, or more developed over time. Okay? Went and watched their ball games yesterday. Love watching them little kids. Seen the C team over here, the B team over here. C team, by the way, if you don't know, that's like 5, 6, 7-year-old kids. This is like 8, 9-year-old kids. And then that's over, and I seen what looked like grown men run on the field. Those were the older ones. And they obviously, Brother Joe, they've grown. You see the progression of growth. And I highly doubt that, as Pastor Walker has shared here before, I highly doubt their parents laid them to bed, mommy got on one leg, daddy got on the other leg, and they started pulling while they was asleep to get them to grow. I don't think they stretched them to grow. I think they fed them, they nurtured them, they took care of them, they protected them, they done what they're supposed to do, and they naturally grew. Amen? So what's that tell me? If we're going to grow spiritually, we've got to nurture our walk with God. Does that make sense? We've got to take time to pray. We've got to take time to be in the Word of God. We've got to take time to meditate. How many people know what meditation is? Let me. I know that sounds like some kind of weird Hindu word. I know that. I do, and I don't use that word lightly. I don't look at it. I don't believe in, there's only one way to God. Y'all know that. Yeah, they've corrupted that word. I agree with that, 100%. But meditation, you're reading God's Word. You know, maybe you, like Brother Joe says, he likes to do it in the mornings. You read God's Word, and throughout that day, you're kind of thinking about that verse. It's just on your mind. You're just meditating on God's goodness. Maybe you've read the Psalms that day, Z. You're just meditating on the goodness of God. Can I tell you something right now? The majority of the times that the Holy Spirit has spoke to me, Brother Charlie, is when I've been meditating on God. I don't know about you guys. I'm just telling you how it works for me. I'm not saying this, but the majority of the time that I've heard that small, still voice that the Lord spoke to me, give me a direction, give me a word to preach on, whatever, it is because I was meditating on Him. On Him, on His goodness, on the Scripture, or whatever. And then He does that. Okay? Now, how do we grow? Are there responsibilities we have? Well, as I said, those, I think they were from Lincoln County. I believe it's the team that come out with those real nice, look like the Carolina Panthers uniforms. Yeah, they were big boys. I don't know how good they was. I didn't stay for that game. But they were good-sized youngins, some of them. But their mom and dads didn't stretch them, but they still had a responsibility to nurture them. So if we're going to grow spiritually, as well as they obviously physically, we've got to nurture our relationship with God. Okay? So now we've got what we've talked about. Where do you stand? Where are you with God right now? First of all, I'm going to ask myself that. Okay. Am I being faithful? Am I being faithful? You've got to ask yourself that. Now, if I'm going to really grow, I've got to nurture. I know that. I've found that out, what I got to do. Then here's the next thing I want to introduce to you. We was in a good group out here Wednesday night, out here by the fire. That finished up. Kate and Austin Compton done a fantastic job with that. If you missed it, God bless you. I know sometimes you can't be here on Wednesday night, but you missed a great group. We've had a really good time. That being said, Austin brought this up out there. I loved it. He said it. And I preached a sermon on this very word. It was a word from God gave me here. I preached a sermon several years ago. It was the first sermon. The pastor had me preach like the first sermon of the new year. And yeah, I preached on this, but it's been 2 or 3 years ago. And it was a word from the Lord. And when I heard Austin say it, I went, yes, I love that. You know, and as I was studying and preparing this morning, it come back out again. We'll use that one. Definitely use that one. And it's this. In everything you do in life, okay, how many of you know, how many people, let me ask this. In your marriage, how many people have a marriage where one might be a little bit organized more than the other? Raise your hand. Don't tell who it is. Just raise your hand if one may be just a little bit more organized than the other. Okay. Okay. We all like that. But it's not a bad thing. We compliment each other, hopefully. You know, after you get past the years where we drive each other crazy about it. But you hopefully compliment each other. Okay. But how many people here are forgetful? Raise your hand. You're just forgetful. You're naturally forgetful. Okay. Okay. That's fine. Okay. So if you're forgetful, it takes you more time or a longer time to do something, right? Because you kind of, oh, man, I forgot to do that. But I was in here doing this. I should have done that. I got to go back. I got to get that done. So it's actually going to take you a little bit more time because you're a little forgetful. That's fine. That's okay. I understand it. And life is, you've got a lot on your mind at that time period. That's all good and well. But can I tell you a thought that becomes the most effective way that I feel we have to walk as a church, as individuals, toward growth. In other words, it don't come, spiritual growth, okay? While growth happens naturally, we still have a responsibility in that. Pat, we've got to read, we've got to study our Bible, we've got to be with God in those things. But in addition to being faithful, we must be intentional. Be intentional. Was the word I got from the Lord and preached several years ago. Austin said that here Wednesday night, and I loved it. Be intentional. I shared this to several of you, probably understand this. I shared this one time. I worked with a fella for about 10 years. He's passed away, but I worked with him for about 10 years. And he, if you looked at this man, he didn't get in a hurry for nothing. Nothing. Matter of fact, if you saw him, he had a cup of coffee. He was chewing gum. Did not move fast. Did not talk fast. He didn't. A man, he was good at his job. He made every lick count. He was intentional. He didn't rush into a job. He kind of sat back and this needs to happen. And he done it. He didn't rush into it, make four more messes that he had to fix. So he studied the problem and he fixed the problem. But he was intentional. I still remember that man, and it always amazed me. You had other people that had done the same job, but he would get more done at a slower pace. Now, some of it might have been experience. I understand that. But he was intentional. He didn't waste time. Okay? As Christians, if you're going to grow in Christ, you're going to have to be intentional. And what that means is, if what I'm doing is helping me grow, I need to keep doing it. If it's what I'm doing is not leading me closer to God, then I need to get rid of it. Plain simple. What do you mean by that? Oh, God, here we go. If you get that little notary, that little notification pops up on your phone, because it comes across about every week, I guess. I don't know. And it says your screen time, 14 hours and 22 minutes a day. Whatever it is, 3 hours and 21 minutes a day, whatever it is, it's irrelevant. And you feel like you're spiritually struggling? Well, let me invite 3 hours and 21 minutes of your time that you could rechange a little bit. You could work on a little bit. I understand maybe work does recall, you know, and you have to use it some. I understand that, I promise. But can I shave an hour off that? Can I shave 30 minutes off that? What I do with that time, I'm going to give it to God. Be intentional in what you do. Intentional with your time. Intentional with your efforts. People, as you get older, teachers, you're getting ready to go back to school. Intentional with your energy. Intentional with your energy. And what do I mean by that? When I was young, Brother Joe, I could go, 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 go. Grab a weed eater, Tommy, hit the hill, cut three hills, cut so many yards, all those things, man. I could, and you know, I'd be tired when it was in a day, whatever, but man, I go, 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 go. You give me the weed eater right now, Richie, and I'm telling you right now, I ain't going as fast. Tell you that right now, I'm a hopping, I'm a waking up with my knee hurting. And so in other words, I realize my gas tank has changed. Be intentional with your energy, because you can't do what you used to do. Think about it. Well, man, I used to read my Bible at night, and I'd have good times with the Lord. Since I started this shift, I'm falling asleep in the bed. You probably don't need to be reading before you go to bed. Probably need to change, because something's going to come a little bit lacking because you're out of energy now. It's not that you're failing God. It's just you need to recognize you don't have the energy for it no more. Be intentional with everything you do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I promise this, you will overextend yourself. How many people have a job? Raise your hand. How many people have kids? Raise your hand. How many people have grandkids? Raise your hand. How many people have a clone that helps you do any of that? See what I mean? There's only one of you. That's it. God wants you to be healthy. Ready for this? Physically. Because if we don't, listen guys, if we get so busy, our health can fade because of that. Okay? Our mind can come under attack when we're so busy. We've got too much on our plate. We're physically exhausted. How many people know what I say when I say, I just feel tired? Raise your hand. See, there you go. You're not alone, is what I want you to know. You're not alone, okay? You're not alone. That's okay. That's okay. One of the biggest things I feel, one of my favorite things that the Holy Spirit does. You know why discernment is there? There'll be a lot of people say, I have the gift of discernment. And that's good and well. I tell you, first of all, you don't have squat. You don't have a gift. The Holy Spirit can use you in a gift. Okay? That being said, I don't think a lot of people that say those things mean bad things, but always give God glory. The Holy Spirit uses some people with a gift of discernment, with a word of knowledge and all those things, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? But what discernment is for is plain and simple. For you to know what you're dealing with. That's it. In other words, Brother Joe, if you came up here and blindfolded me, you brought Ike up here, and you told me and Ike to just start throwing punches. Ike has no blindfold, but I got one on. I'm at a pretty big disadvantage. All I can do is swing. Don't know what I'm swinging at, but I'm a swinging. Can't defend myself for nothing. Ike moves back here, he hits me in the ear. I didn't know he was back here. I thought he was here. I move over here, he hits me in the back of the head. I didn't know he was there. He moved. I can't defend myself if I don't know where he's at. Discernment comes so that you know what the enemy's doing. That's what it's for. It's not for you to lord it over like you have a gift, because it ain't your gift anyway. Okay? But it is to aid in your growth and to edify the church. Okay? Because now all of a sudden, the word came, the discernment came. You think, I just get up here with, look, I'm not that smart. There's times I say things and I'm like, man, that was good. I've said things this morning I didn't prepare for. That's God, that ain't me. I'm not that smart. I'm just telling you that I'm not. Anybody grew up with me? I'm from Greenville. I'm from Greenville, okay? Proud to be from Greenville, but Einstein wasn't from Greenville. If you didn't know that, I'm just kidding. But anyway, that being said, discernment is there to aid you, the church, and to edify the people of God. Okay? So in other words, he then comes in and lets you know, you've got to drop back a little bit here. You're overextended. Honey, this person you think's your friend, they're not your friend. Okay? Be aware of this. Be aware of that. The Lord says unto you this. The Lord says unto you that. It's there to wake us up. Now all of a sudden, me and Ike's fighting. And he's done whoop a tar plum out of me. Joe pulls off my blindfold. Now, if my eyes ain't swollen together, I can see Ike. And I can start defending myself or move away from him and take actions to better my position. But if I don't know, I don't know. There's too many people walking around in the church today that are walking around with blindfolds on. They don't know, they don't know, okay? But here's what God wants you to know. You were intended to grow. Ready for this? But you have a responsibility. It's not no one's fault if you haven't. If you won't worship God, you'll have a hard time experiencing a strong move of God. Is what it is. If you refuse to meditate on the things of God, to pray, to talk to God as if he's a friend, to realize he's not just some powerful being who's looking down at you ready to throw a lightning bolt at you if you mess up. But listen, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, two can walk together if they agree. Okay, that being said, God walks with us as children of God. Okay, so Brother Joe, if I'm having a hard time, sometimes I just need to pull the seat out at the kitchen table and sit and just have a talk with him. Go ahead, bro. Back to the basics. Word and prayer. Back to the basics. Sometimes we just need some alone time with God to talk to him and allow him to pour into us. He can, listen, you're doing a good thing by being here this morning. God put you here this morning to hear this, to hear the sermon and all those things, to experience the power of God and all those. This is important. Gathering is important. But you gather to help you grow. And we grow to help others. Because how many of you know that it ain't all about us? Right? Jesus set the supreme example of who we were supposed to be. Jesus served others. Amen? He served others. How do I know he served others? He fed people when they didn't have food to eat. He healed people that couldn't be healed. How many people remember the one with the issue of blood? Spent all she had on doctors. Still sick. Jesus touched her. He healed her. He gave her her life back. How many people remember the woman with the alabaster box? How many people like that song? How many ladies like that song? Let me ask that better. Okay. I like the song too, but Tara seems to like it more than I do. Not this bad. It's a good song. But that being said, everybody remembers the one with the alabaster box, don't they? Okay. But how many, I love that. How many people know where she was when she done it? Anybody? She was in Simon the leper's house. Simon the leper's house. That's who she was in. So what's that mean? If he had leprosy, she wouldn't have been there. He would have been unclean. So that tells me that the woman with the alabaster box was in someone's house who Jesus healed. Jesus served other people. How many people remember the night he was arrested? What did he do with his disciples? What did he do for them? How did he serve them? Wash their feet. They walk in, and if you don't know this, this is pretty good. They walk in, and according to the way each one of them was sitting around the table, they kind of pastored down a sermon here one time. It would have been on the ground like a little raised platform, and they would have laid or sat on the ground. It wouldn't have been like a kitchen table that we talk about. But as you was positioned, determined how you was and who, and guess who was supposed to be washing feet? Peter. He was supposed to be washing feet. He didn't. Whatever reason, Joe, he didn't. He knew the custom. He was sitting there, Pat, but he didn't. Here's what it is. Jesus gets up and immediately wraps the towel around himself and he starts washing. And that's why when he gets to Peter, Peter said, Lord, you ain't going to wash my feet. Remember what Jesus said to him, Pat? If I don't wash your feet, you got no part in me. He said, Lord, I wash my feet only, but my head. I worship everything, Lord. Ooh, I feel that. Serving others matters. And you never move into serving others if you don't grow. You understand the importance of this whole thing as a cycle. Brother Pat. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen, my brother. Amen. Amen. And that love gets me to my final point. I'm running out of time. And I want to hear what our sister has to share. Love. No greater love does a man have to lay down his life for a brother? And every single person here this morning is here because Jesus laid down his life for us. No greater love. Agape love in the Greek. Agape love. How many of you know the story? And then I'm going to get to this and wind it down. How many of you know the story? When Jesus appears in the last few chapters of the book of John there, and the disciples are out fishing again, and Jesus is on the banks with the they don't recognize him just yet, and he tells them to cast their nets the other side, and they cast it, and it's full again, and all of a sudden, and Peter stands up and realizes it's the Lord. He takes his coat off and dives in the water. I've preached this sermon before. How many people know? How many people's ever went swimming in a river? Raise your hand. Come on, you people ain't. Okay. Josh, you grab a big old coat and put it on before you go swimming in the river? Why? Because you're drowned. It'll weigh you down, right? But Peter puts on a coat and he dives in. You know why he did that? Because Peter likely was naked. It was common. It's hot over there. It was as hot on top of that Mingo Central Mountain yesterday as it was in the Middle East. I had sweat going everywhere. That being said, it was normal. He's with a bunch of guys. They'll go down to the loincloths. If they've got a loin, if they ain't got a loincloth, it's nothing big deal. If you've been in a football locker room, it's no big deal. That being said, he puts a coat on because he didn't want Jesus to see him in the condition he was in. And he puts the coat on and he goes to Jesus. Amen? And then Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus looks at Peter and he said, "Lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep." Although he said, "Lord, you know I love you." Remember that. What Jesus is doing is Jesus is saying, "Peter, you love me more than these fish." Okay? Why? Because I called you to be fishers of men. And here you're back doing what you've done. You done backslid. That's what he's saying. Because you deny me. You're in a backsliding condition. You love me more than these. "Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. He does that. Are you ready for this? The answer is in when you dig a little bit deeper. Here's what Jesus is saying. "Peter, I agape you." And Peter's answer in the Greek is, "Lord, I love you as a friend." That would hurt. "I love you more than life itself." That's good. "I love you as a friend." That's what Peter was saying to him. That's exactly what was going on. Love introduces grace. Grace. Jesus didn't kick him out then. He extended grace. He knew Peter would come around. God is able to give you grace where you're at, knowing that his love can transform you and get you to where you need to be. Think about that. Don't be so hard on yourself. You need to grow. You need to be intentional. You have to be faithful. But I'm going to tell you right now, grace is there because God knows we won't do it all the time. That's how good he is. Jennifer, that's how much he loves us. It matters to God that you're here. It matters to God that you want to grow. We must take the effort to do it. We must put forth the time to do it. We can't be too busy. Sometimes we got to look at somebody and say, "I ain't got time for that. God bless you. But I got to do this today. And I got to spend time with the Lord." Whatever you got to do to keep it on track, do it. Amen? But gathering matters, but so does growing. Because I don't know about you guys, the last time I checked, there's a lot of people that's lost out here. They need rest with the gospel. And some of them are. Some of them are my kids that I can't reach. But I've been frustrated in prayer. I've been praying, but I can't reach them, Jeremiah. I need you to go reach them. And I'll go reach your family too. We're in this together, gathering and growing so that we all can go. Amen? Donnie, you care to come up here, sweetheart? Right now I want to let our sister share something that she feels led of the Lord to share. And like I said, I don't ever want to not be obedient to the Spirit of God. I believe in that very, very much. But I'll just let her, I'll shut up and let her share it.
Good morning. Since Wednesday, I was just through the house just doing ordinary stuff. God just put this on me like a ton of bricks. I just kind of stopped and just meditated on this. And each and every day since then, I meditated on this every